ask this in the name of our glorious Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Well, a very, very warm welcome to Holy Trinity at St. Margaret's this morning. Is it 9:30 already? Just a couple of things to mention to you. Firstly, I just heard yesterday that Sylvia Harris had a fall sometime this week, and so she's in Stoke Mandeville Hospital at the moment. So please do pray for dear Sylvia. Her children are down and they're kind of looking after and stuff, but yeah, so please pray for her. Also just say, next Sunday, apparently there's some kind of do in the village hall at 1 o'clock, but what I'm hoping to do next Sunday is to get Adrian Cooper to take a photograph of us outside church after 9:30 service next Sunday. So that once I've retired, I'll be able to remember who you are. In case I forget you, oh yeah, you're absolutely right, John. I will never forget who you are. But I just thought it'd be very nice for me when I retire to have a photograph of you. So next Sunday, if you could polish your shoes, comb your hair, put your best bib and tucker on, and then after the 9:30 service, we'll all pile out, and Adrian's going to take a photograph of us all, and I'll have that. I'll hang it on my wall as a memento of you all, and I'll have a little tear ever so often will come down. So yeah, next Sunday after the service. All right, and David is leading us this morning. David, thank you.
So welcome to this service of morning worship. Take up our sheets. Can you hear me all right? Good. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. And our first hymn, number 597, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Thank you.
be seated. We come to our confession knowing that none of us are perfect. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. If you are God, with the people of God, we confess our weakness, the ways we wound our hearts, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. I'm a collect for today. Risen Christ, your wounds declare your love for the world and the wonder of your risen life. Give us compassion and courage to risk ourselves for those we serve, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Now our readings from the Bible from Sylvia and Sue.
The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sylvia and Sue. Our next hymn, number 599, "When We Walk With the Lord."
Thank you.
Please be seated. A reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, and beginning to read at verse 31. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Amen. May the words on my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. I looked at the readings today and I thought, well, there's three sermons. But I thought you wouldn't be very appreciative of three sermons. And I was really struck by the gospel today. So the other two readings have hints of what's in the gospel, but they're not the sermon. But they're jolly good readings, aren't they? Jesus gave us a new commandment. He commanded us to love one another. And that's a tough commandment. Whenever you get a group of people together, there'll be disagreements, there'll be frictions, there'll be personality clashes, there'll be problems. Unfortunately, that's true even in churches. Some people want to do it this way, others want to do it that way. Some people want to spend money, others want to save it. Some people want to place emphasis here and others want to place it there. Some people are very sensitive and have to be handled with kid gloves, like me. Some people just drive other people crazy. How can Jesus command us to love one another? Jesus might suggest that we love one another. Better yet, he might suggest that we try to love one another. Even better, he might suggest that we have a goal to love one another. But is it realistic for Jesus to command us to love? I'm reminded of a Peanuts cartoon. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "You know, what I don't understand, I don't understand love." Charlie says, "Who does?" Lucy says, "Explain love to me, Charlie Brown." So Charlie says, "Well, let's say I see this beautiful, cute little girl walk by." Lucy interrupts, "Why does she have to be cute, eh? Can't she find someone to fall in love with, someone who with freckles and a big nose? Explain that." Charlie says, Well, maybe you're right. Let's just say I say this little girl walked by with this great big nose. Lucy shouts, I didn't say great big noise, nose. And Charlie, admitting defeat, says, not only can you not explain love, you can't even talk about it. And that's true for most of us, isn't it? On paper, we're great. But in real life, we have bad breath. In real life, we say the wrong thing. In real life, we blow up over nothing at all. Then Jesus comes into this messy picture saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Not easy. Perhaps it depends on what Jesus means by love. What does Jesus mean when he tells us to love one another? After all, the word love is used in many ways. It has many different meanings. Last Sunday, Americans celebrated Mother's Day. Mothers know more about love than anyone. A mother's love is special. Most of us remember our mother's love as a great blessing. Mothers love tenderly. A child with a scraped knee or a broken heart usually goes to mum for comfort. You can't count on dads. Dads sometimes say, get tough. Mums are more dependable when we need sympathy. Mothers tend to be gentler than dads, but they can love ferociously too. Don't ever stand between a mother bear and her cub. Mothers who think you're a threat to her children can turn deadly. Mothers love tenderly and they love ferociously. But there are other kinds of love. We speak of a young man and a young woman as being in love. What does that mean? Sometimes it means a deep, passionate relationship that has the potential to undergird a lifelong marriage, in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, until death us do part. But sometimes the word means very little. Sometimes love just means his excitement over the curve of her waist, or her excitement over his muscular build. People talk of making love. What does that mean? Sometimes it means nothing more than a moment of passion. No real affection. No concern for the other person. But Jesus doesn't let the word love melt into a soggy mush. He commands us to love. And then he tells us what that means. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus calls us to love as he loved us. How did Jesus love us? Let's take this passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It does not use the word love, but clearly describes Christ's love. Paul says that even though Christ existed from the beginning in the form of God, he didn't consider equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Yes, even death of the cross. So loving as Jesus loved means emptying ourselves of our pride, of our selfishness. It means humbling ourselves. It means becoming obedient to God's will, even when that means sacrificing something that we want. John speaks of God's love in this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So when Jesus tells us to love one another, he's telling us to make sacrifices on behalf of each other. He's telling us to take care of each other, even at great cost. He's telling us to think less of ourselves and more of the other person. He's telling us to act loving, even if we don't feel loving. We think of the word of love as a feeling, don't we? Jesus commands us to feel love. Can he do that? Can he control our feelings? Bruchner says, I was walking down the street in New York, and a black woman came up to me and said, Jesus loves you. And Bruchner says, for the rest of the way I was going, the streets I walk on were paved with gold. Nothing was different. Everything was different. The city was transfigured. I was transfigured. It was a new New York. For a moment, it was not the world as I saw, but the world as it might be. When that woman spoke to Bruchner, she changed his world. She did something else too. She identified herself as a Christian. And in a lovely way, when she smiled and said, Jesus loves you, Bruckner knew that she was a kindred spirit, a fellow believer, a sister in Christ. On that New York street so full of people, but so devoid of human touch, Bruchner was meeting someone, however briefly, with whom he shared something important, something spiritual. Perhaps when we do something good for someone we don't like, that helps us to do much as it does, it helps us as much as it helps them. Perhaps when we pray for an enemy, we will feel the acid of our anger fading and our understanding of our enemy growing. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And that happened when the woman said, Jesus loves you. One of the things that should draw people to this church is our love for each other. We do have differences and we do irritate each other sometimes, but we also love each other. And when we love each other, We show people that we are Christ's disciples. People will see Christ in us and learn to love him too. John Lyly, the 16th century English writer, said that love knoweth no law. Oh dear. An interesting comment. Jesus gave us a law to love, and John Lyly said that love knoweth no law. Was Lyly suggesting that Jesus was wrong? Surely not. I think that Lyly was suggesting that when we obey Jesus' commandment to love, we no longer require laws to guide us. Once we love each other, we don't need a law which tells us to walk a mile with the other person. Once we love each other, we will walk with each other mile after mile for the pleasure of it. Love charts our direction, and love gives us energy. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us obey him. Let us obey the law of love. Let us love one another. Let us allow our love to bear witness to our faith in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And now, obviously, the next hymn is number 22, A New Commandment I Give Unto You, and we will sing it twice. Please be seated. Now Catherine will come and lead us in prayer.
Lord, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves through Jesus Christ our Lord, who's alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As those who trust and hope in the living God, let us pray for our world, as it seems to have become a scarier place with the threat of retaliation and saber rattling. Let us pray that the leaders strive for peace and work to diffuse the tensions, and that we can all go forward in a spirit of harmony and act in the pursuit of the common good throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, be with all those suffering because of war, all those divided peoples, and all those separated from loved ones, families, and friends. We pray for Ukraine and their displaced nation, for those fleeing their homes, leaving everything behind. We give thanks for the work of St. Thomas's Church in Hultsper in their support of a group of Ukrainian families, and to Hultsper School for taking Ukrainian children into their classes, thus letting the children continue with their education, albeit in a foreign land. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, at this time of the year, when our young people are coming to the end of their academic year and going on study leave, give them the resilience and fortitude to deal with the stress of sitting exams, as some will have not sat an exam for 5 years. Help us to be a support to them in their studies and guide them in their revision. Be with them when they receive their results and share with them their joy on success. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We give thanks for our community and for the coming together of the village in the upcoming events that are happening for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. We pray for the Queen and for her unwavering service to the country for over 70 years. Give her the health and strength, Lord, to enjoy the celebrations planned in her honour next month. And we pray that in our community we may continue to share and to help each other, and we ask that you watch over all of us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Give strength to all those who are suffering at this time, Lord, and to all who are caring for loved ones, and comfort all those who've lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, especially Sylvia Harris in Stoke Mandeville following a fall this week. We bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for Mike and Ali, for all their wise words and the good work that they have done in our parish. We have been blessed by their presence in our lives, and we are grateful. We send them our love and prayers as they embark on a new chapter of their lives together, and we remind them that they will be forever in our thoughts and hearts. Lord, in your mercy. As the summer approaches, let us savour and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends, and let us be filled with the warmth and joy and the comfort that you are in our lives. Let your love surround us all. And now we'll finish our prayers with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Catherine. Now let us stand and declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And our offertory hymn, There's a Sound on the Wind, 547. Blessing. Eternal God, our beginning and our end, accompany us in this day's journey. Dawn on our darkness, open our eyes to praise you for your creation and to see the work you set before us today. Take us and use us to bring to others the new life you give in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And if we face each other across the aisle, we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. See you at coffee.